Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode on here on Hacks and Hobbies. If you missed the last episode with Ina Coveney, go hit play on that first. We dove into how podcasting sparked her leap into automotive space and how she founded the Auto Social Consulting, helping dealerships own their corner of the internet. Ooh. Ina, welcome back to the show.
Let's do this, Junaid. I am so ready for round two.
What's funny is that today's episode is all gas, no brakes. We're unpacking the systems, tools, and mindset shifts needed to actually generate leads from social media, especially in industries that aren't traditionally online first. So let's jump in.
Let's do it.
What's the biggest mistake you see dealerships and local businesses make when they start creating content?
It's almost like they feel like they need to do original content all the time, which is a lot of pressure for anybody. It doesn't matter what your experience level is with social media. I've created thousands and thousands of videos. And to this day, like, I cannot tell you how much energy it takes to actually go and create a completely original video. Something happened while I was in a training session at a dealership that we were helping car salespeople create content right then and there with us. And there was one person that we identified, a really easy one that he could go and do. We gave him the concept, right? This was a trend. This is something that had worked for other dealerships.
Yeah.
And we gave it to him and we said, okay, go and come back with it done. We gave him like a half an hour, plenty of time. He comes back, he had not recorded it. And we're like, okay, what happened? And he's like, I came up with a better idea that I'm just gonna do later. I'm like, okay. So when we started to really dig into it, like, what stopped you? You had a perfect idea, you had enough time to do it, why didn't you do it? And his answer was that he felt icky using somebody else's sound on social media. Because the sound that we had identified for the trend he was going to reproduce was somebody that is really well known. Mm-hmm. So he felt icky about, like, oh, people are going to think that I'm piggybacking off of his success, or that I am mimicking him or mocking him. I'm like, and I'm here completely confused because I'm like, no. These people want you to use their audio for this.
Please.
They're like TikTok, Instagram, they make it as easy for you as possible to go and piggyback off of existing trends because it's all about resharing. In fact, you can go to any audio online on Instagram or on TikTok and you can see who else has used it. They even tag, this is the original person who submitted this idea, right? So that person is getting credit.
Yeah.
So just thinking that you have to be creating original content all the time, nothing could be further from the truth. You go and find out what is working and you just piggyback off of it and you make it your own, give it your own spin. So I feel like that right there should save a lot of people a lot of time and aggravation.
You know, you're so right. The hopping on trends or using a popular trend to create your content, and you're technically still creating original content. You're just using the same sound. It's almost like somebody's doing, like, there's so many versions of people covering Beat It or the Thriller song. They're bringing their own, but they're still using the same sound, the same music, because people resonate and relate to that music, to that sound. So that's really interesting. Yeah.
There isn't this concept of plagiarism when it comes to TikTok trends, when it comes to Instagram trends. So you may feel like icky about that. Like, well, somebody else already did it, so maybe I shouldn't do exactly the same thing. You realize that there are billions of users on the platform. And that person who originally created that trend is getting some traction. Maybe they'll get a million views. They're still oh, like millions and hundreds of millions of people that could have seen it because more people started propagating that idea. So there is no such thing as stealing somebody's idea when you're talking about Instagram and TikTok trends. That's what they're there for. So start with something that already works and you'll get way more traction than if you were just creating original content all the time.
Oh my God. That's a game changer philosophy, even, because you no longer have to worry about, okay, what are we going to talk about? What is this going to be about? It's already there for you, and it's cookie cutter, and that should make it a lot easier to jump on it and be able to build it out. Now, talk to me about how do you go, or, you know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, especially if you're starting out, if you're starting to get more comfortable being on camera, if you're starting to get comfortable hearing your own voice on video or putting your face on video, it's a lot easier to jump on trends to get traction quickly while you get comfortable with that aspect of creation.
I love that. Now, talk to us about how do you approach training salespeople, most of whom aren't influencers, to create content that builds trust and converts. And I think you just gave us a hint of what it takes to get started.
I think the first thing you need to think about is don't think of yourself as an influencer. I feel like that word already, it's like what we call in the development world, we call it a reserved word. That word already has a meaning. Right? When you think of influencer, you think of somebody that has millions of views, millions of followers, who have a certain amount of influence over other people. So there's a lot of car salespeople who did not get into that business to become an influencer, right? To become TikTok famous. This is not a goal that they have. It's not something they ever really aspire to. So you have to take the influencer word away from them. Instead, let's think of us as creators. Right? We are just content creators trying to attract leads in the same way that a video, that an ad on TV can attract leads, or a newspaper article can attract leads, or a blog post can attract leads. Video does that too. So that is the first thing that we tackle with them, is that mindset. Like, what exactly is your goal? If your goal is to just have a presence so people know that just down the street there is this really fun person that is selling cars, then just do that. Just create content that is going to be fun and entertaining and educational. So we spent quite a bit of time just talking about the mindset piece that comes with it, to break all other paradigms and just to start to think of their own brand as whatever they want to make it and not whatever they think it should be or other people want it to be, or becoming an influencer, whatever that means. We're just here to create content that is going to attract people to you and your store. And that's it. This is kind of how we start. And then we start with really the actual techniques of creating that content. What are your strengths, right? If you are somebody that loves to talk and you're not afraid to be on camera, then by all means, you should be doing talkies all day, right? Turn on the camera in front of you, show the cars behind you, and just talk at people. Tell them, hey, this is what we have going on at the store today. You should stop by. We have a new promotion. Definitely use your voice. Get people to hear you. If you're just starting out and you don't really know, you're not really comfortable talking at length in front of the camera, start to get used to that while at the same time creating content that doesn't use your voice, like we were just talking about trends. So there's always a way. Where there's a will, there is a way for you to start creating content. So that's kind of where we start, where we start to get their feet wet a little bit.
I love that, because as they get their feet wet, and that's the thing, right? They've got to start somewhere. The water might be cold, but guess what? As soon as you step in the water and you get comfortable, you're like, okay, I want to go more deeper into the water, and they get more comfortable. Talk to us about, right? I was just at the beach last week, and I kind of relate with that. I'm like, hey, the water's cold. Do I want to go in? And then you just let a little bit of water touch you. Like, okay, it's not that bad. Let me just go a little deeper.
That's really how it goes, especially with something as difficult as content creation. You got to start small in a way that is going to be comfortable to you, and then work yourself up to like the higher intensity or the higher difficulty kind of content creation. But you got to start somewhere.
You got to start somewhere. All right, Ina, talk to us about or walk us through what a good 30-day content plan might look like for a new client.
Okay. The first thing you need to know is that you gotta be creating content all the time. So just creating one piece of content a week, it's not gonna cut it. That sounds like a good summer project that you're just going to abandon at the end of the summer and nothing will have changed in your life. If you really want to change your life, you're gonna have to set your mindset to posting at least once a day. And I'm saying at least very intentionally, because anybody who really wants to grow quickly, who wants to hone their craft quickly, you're gonna have to be creating multiple videos a day. Now, that sounds extremely overwhelming if you're starting out, but you gotta know where you're headed. Like, that's the kind of content creation that you're going for. A place where you can just create 5 videos in one sitting, and that is 1 week's worth. And then the next day, you create 5 more videos, and now you have 2 videos per day, right? So to get started, I would say you start to take a look at trends. You start to recognize what your strengths and your weaknesses are. So you can start working on the weaknesses, but really focusing on your strengths. And what kind of content can you create consistently that can get you exposure a little bit every single day? Mm-hmm. A really good way to start is, and this is going to get really into the weeds, but if people really hear what I'm about to say, it's going to completely change their game online. Let me focus on TikTok, although it's exactly the same thing on Instagram. Mm-hmm. On TikTok, whatever the app is feeding you, the kind of content that is feeding you on the For You page, right? On Instagram, it would be on the Explore page. Mm-hmm. That is what the app thinks your community is. So if you have been consuming Taylor Swift interview videos, then TikTok, Instagram are going to think that those are your people. Whatever you consume also impacts the algorithm. It's not just the kind of content you're creating or the accounts you're engaging with or the kind of captions or hashtags you're using. Is what you're also consuming. So if you spend time on the app, just focus on looking at other car dealerships and other car creators, and you train the algorithm that those are your people, that is your community, that is who you relate to, then it's going to start pushing your content to more audiences that care about that kind of content. So another great thing to do is to engage with other local businesses, because they have local audiences, and you want local people to come through your store. So you're going to have to play a really smart game. But you asked me about, if you're just starting out, what should you be doing? Think about, what if I had to create one video per day and post one video per day? How do I make that super easy and in a way that is going to be like a no-brainer for me?
Yeah.
And that is, look at your feed. And that's why I started by saying your feed has to be right, right? Because you need to be looking at your feed, look at other creators, and then find a trend that would be really easy for you to do. Something that doesn't use your voice, most likely it's not even going to use your face, right? It's just going to be something that somebody else is doing with a particular audio. Do the same thing and see how that feels. And then you start to get a little bit more comfortable with the editing of it and with the caption of it. But you got to start by starting. Like, that's basically where it's at.
Wow, guys, here you just heard it here from Ina herself. You got to start with start. Like, just get started. You know, don't think deeper. Don't go into the analyzation. You know, what's that word? There's like a word for it, right?
Analysis paralysis.
There we go. The paralysis of it being an analysis.
I actually just remembered the first part of your question, which was, what does a 30-day content look like?
Yeah, the 30-day
content strategy look like.
Yeah.
I would start out by not doing a lot of planning. Like you said, no analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
Don't plan your content. Don't spend a week trying to figure out which content to create. What you're going to do is start on day one of that 30-day content strategy, find trends and replicate them that same day and save them in your drafts. Right? You should always have like at least 10 drafts going all the time, so that if you don't have time to create content that day, you go to your drafts and you post something. So you're going to start on day one by looking for trends, recreating really easy ones, practicing what your captions should look like, and then just doing that every single day until you start to build a bank. You don't really have Like, the more you do it, the more comfortable you're going to get doing it. So I'm not even going to tell you should start with this type of content or this type, and then do this on week four. Is whatever you can post, it doesn't matter. We're going for a volume game here. As many videos as possible that have to do with what you do, which in my case, you know, is these auto dealerships, is selling cars. As many posts as you can, and really focus on that local business engagement. That will completely change your feed in just 30 days.
Man, that's really powerful, because not only is it going to get you prepped and get you to learn the tools and filming and posting and tracking performance, but it'll also get you to think about the things that you're missing. Right. Think about what everybody else is doing. Hey, how can I do it better? And then you'll be more open to experimenting with new stuff that's probably not done before.
Yeah, I love that.
Now, Ina, let's talk about technology. What tools do you rely on for filming, posting, tracking, performance, and all of the good stuff for, you know, any of the platforms?
CapCut is going to be your best friend. That is an editing tool for short form videos. CapCut, CapCut, is an app on Android and on iPhone. You're gonna download that right away. There is a free version that you can use, and it does wonders. It has amazing captions that pop up, like the really fun captions that pop up on the screen, like the closed captioning. Mm-hmm. It has that. That's how I started with CapCut, because neither TikTok nor Instagram had really fun closed captioning, and I could see that on other videos. So that's how I started using it. But then I realized you can add videos on top of them. You can add images, and you can add little stickers and things that are fun. You can edit right there. And one really cool feature of CapCut, and I believe you have to pay for this feature. Like, the pro version is like $10 a month. Sure. So if this is something that you want to do, you know, it's the price of a coffee, right? One really cool feature is that you can have it do your closed captioning, and then you can have it remove filler words. So it really shortens your video and makes it way more dynamic. If you look at any of my videos on Auto Social Gal accounts, anything where I'm speaking to the camera, you will see that there's very quick cuts to everything I say. It's almost like I speak sentence by sentence, and then I edit it so that I switch from sentence to sentence to sentence without any room for air, because people do not have the time, do not have the attention span to listen to you speak at a normal pace and breathe. As soon as you take a breath, they've already moved on. So we remove all of those breaths. We remove any any, you know, stopping and thinking, any sneezes and coughs. We remove all of that automatically inside CapCut and create this really fast-paced video so that people will only get content and not breathing time with it. So CapCut, I swear by it. And in terms of analytics and all of that, the apps have got you. All you have to do is go straight to your video. You can see the insights in there, right on TikTok, right on Instagram, and see how you're doing, see how long people are staying on your video for. And one thing that you really have to keep in mind, what the app really cares about is you keeping the attention of people for as long as possible. Yeah. So you are going to want to look at that metric that says how long people watch the video for. If people are dropping out after 2 seconds in your video, that explains your low views. So you just got to know where to look at your insights and what to listen for and what to watch out for. And just use that to create even better content the following week.
Ooh, that's so powerful. I love it. CapCut has been a game changer, because not only does it let you edit those videos, but they also give you these funny templates where people are, you know, they got tons of views on this template. You want to use this template? Grab photos from your camera roll, or, you know, shoot more video. Talk to me about if you have a formula template or a formula you use to hook viewers in that first 3 seconds.
I will, but first I need to second what you just said, because I completely forgot about that. If you are on TikTok and you see a trend happening where there is maybe somebody, like the character of a movie, right, saying something funny, and then the background is just a green screen, right? Like the background is, you know, video that the user added themselves to kind of give that video context. That probably came from CapCut. right? Yeah. And there's a lot of really funny templates like that. So yeah, CapCut gives you the viral trends that you're seeing on TikTok right now. It is amazing. Your question was
favorite template or formula you use to hook. Yeah.
Okay. There's two things and there's two schools of thoughts on this, but I think that everybody can benefit from both. In terms of hooks, I am more of the text hook, but some people are more of the visual hook. Mm. So what is the difference between those two? A text hook is when somebody quickly reads whatever text is on the screen to see if they should stick around and watch the rest of the video. That's the kind of hooks that I like because those are the kind of hooks that I pay attention to, mm-hmm. right? It's, you know, like I just recorded a video that said, why do people hate car dealerships, right? Like I recorded a video that had exactly that caption. And I'm here explaining, hey, I just posted this video and I started to get some hate. Like, what is going on? Why are people saying this? And people have been commenting, really long comments telling me like everything they think about car dealerships. Because it's a thing, like for every video that we create about car dealerships, there will always be haters, right? Like there's always people, oh, car salesmen are this, car salesmen are that. So I just kind of played off of that and I gave them an invitation. Come and talk to me about it. Tell me everything that you don't like about dealerships. Put it right here. So a text hook is basically like that, a caption right on the screen that tells them this is what this reel or this video is about, and this is what we're going to be talking about. So don't go. This is what we're going to be talking about here. I like those hooks.
Yeah.
Other people go more for a visual hook, which means that in the first half a second of the video, something needs to be moving in an unusual way, right? As if like, as soon as the video starts, I am going to like throw a pen at you, or I'm going to move my hands really close to the camera and then bring them to me, right?
Yeah.
That's a visual hook. That is something interesting that people can just, like what is happening in this video right now? I mean, those work and a lot of people are teaching those. I just think that they're very short-lived because as soon as you know, get their attention in the first half a second, you still have to keep their attention for the next 6 minutes, right? So to me, visual hooks are like a cool tool to get somebody to stop the scroll. But if you want people to actually listen, use the text hooks.
I like the idea. I do also pay attention to the text hooks. And I'm like, okay, they leave this statement and then either they'll say, watch till the end or the result at the end, or they'll have a really compelling, I'm like, okay, I want to close the loop because they've technically opened the loop by saying, hey, this is what's going to happen. And I'm like, okay, let me see what's happening. And whoever's listening here, you probably experienced that as well. So, you know, look what's working for you or what's working on you and then use that in your videos.
That's a great tip. What works on you and then use that. Love that.
Now, follow-up on that question, Ina, is what would you say to a dealership that's hesitant, still thinking that our customers don't really care about TikTok or Reels?
Usually the dealerships that think that customers don't care about TikTok or Reels are the ones that are not on those platforms themselves. And this happens a lot because the dealership owners, they're very busy people. They're out there going around the world, doing business, right?
Yeah.
Buying cars, like they're doing what they know how to do. And marketing in the dealership world has always been TV advertising, newspaper advertising, maybe buying some ads on Facebook, but that's it. They don't think, well, people are not gonna buy cars from TikTok or Instagram. And actually, I agree with them. It happens rarely that somebody will see a car on TikTok or Instagram and will contact the dealership and will want to buy it, but that's not what Instagram and TikTok are for. They're not to sell cars. They are to sell you. They are a brand making opportunity and a trust building opportunity for you and your community. So your people, the people in your community are already on TikTok and Instagram. If you are not there, but your customers, your competition is, then you are missing out on that market. They're getting to know the personality of everybody in your competitors. And you are not there. So that's what I would say to them. Is the only reason you feel that way is because you're not on the apps yourself. But that doesn't mean that your customers are not there and that your competition is taking all of those leads and all of that like juicy trust that they're building, they are taking it and you're not.
They're taking it to the bank, guys. Either you're on there or not, they're taking it to the bank. Now, you know, let's talk results. What's one of your favorite client success stories where social content directly drove sales?
That is a really, really tough question for organic social media to answer. Yeah. In fact, it's a really hard question for TV spots and billboards to answer. What is the ROI? Are you actually selling cars from this? I'm going to tell you, my biggest success stories come from the fact that customers that are walking into my client's store, they look at the people who were in the videos and say, I saw your video. That was really funny and that was really cool. Right? Because right there, you know that that person walked into that dealership already having a positive sense for the people who work there. And you can't say that about everything, right? You cannot say that every random person that is going to walk into your store is going to already have a positive feeling about you. In fact, I was just talking to a few friends of mine. I'm talking to them, to everybody that I can about the automotive world to see like what is their experience at dealerships. And they tell me, I walked in and that car salesman kept looking at my husband, right? And I just walked out because I was not being treated with respect. I walked in over there and I didn't like the way they treated me. They pretended that I wasn't there. I walked in and they were just talking at me and not letting me ask any questions. So I just walked out of there, right? So when you already have somebody that knows your staff because they already think they're funny, they already think they're informational, they already like their vibe, it's almost as good as a referral. And everybody knows in the auto business, referrals are the best way to close a deal faster. So that is the best ROI that I can really like go and speak of, is that people will know your stuff even before stepping into that dealership.
Amen, amen, amen. I love that. You're building, you're creating exposure, you're building relationship. You're making those touch points so that when they do walk in and they've been watching your content and you've been posting content, they have this parasocial connection with you. Like, oh my God.
Yes.
I know Ina. I've seen her in so many podcast episodes. Or I know, you know, this guy or that guy. You were just building, more, you know, creating more exposure. It's almost like, I think it was you or somebody else mentioning social media is like a billboard. The more places you are, you have it in, the more you're going to see. There's no ROI for a billboard. You're not going to say, hey, did you see our billboard? No. Okay. Well, thanks.
Right? It's just building trust and relationships. Yeah. That's really what it is. It doesn't work like paid advertising. It's purely networking.
It's all networking. Well, you know, we've been talking about dealerships, but what's cool is that as we're talking about it, I was like, wait, that also applies to me. To my business, right? It applies to the strategy works beyond cars. It's not just for dealership. It could work for a restaurant. It could work for a hair designer or a hairstylist or whatever you, because you're communicating with your community. Talk to me about what are some universal lessons here for coaches, consultants, and even some local service providers.
The universal lesson is that organic social media, which is you creating fun videos, educational videos, and getting people to get to know you, it's not paid advertising. You're not looking to put in a dollar and get two back. What you're looking for is brand recognition. And that's true for every kind of business. It's not just car dealerships. It's not just hair salons. It's not just restaurants. For everybody. Your customers are on social media right now. If they get to see you, then you have a much better chance at building rapport with them than if you were not. So when you're creating content for social, just focus on building your brand, on getting yourself exposure, on getting yourself to connect with local businesses so that you can all share the same audiences and drive people into your store. But it is not a give and take. It's not put in a dollar and get two back. Do not look for that kind of hard ROI. Look for, if you're not there, your competitors are. The end. You're just simply not competing unless you're creating content on social media. That's it. Go and build your brand.
Go and build your brand. That's the way to do it. And it's free. It's literally free to build your brand, post content. There was a video I was watching, and it's probably a few years old, but Mr. Beast was blown away by this guy's strategy. They were posting 100 posts a day on Instagram and got to 30 million views because it's a reciprocal platform. The more content that you put on there, that's going to keep people on your platform, the more people are going to see your content.
That's amazing. Yeah, I totally agree.
It's so crazy. How can someone build a strong personal brand inside a larger company without stepping on toes? Because that's something that I'm sure you probably also thought about when you were in corporate.
Absolutely. Actually, I am way older than I look. And social media actually didn't have a huge footprint when I was in corporate. But there was such thing as blogging.
Yes.
And I did. I had this entrepreneurial spirit and I wanted to start a blog. And I went into my HR manager's office and I told her, I am starting a blog. I am starting a podcast. These are the things that I'm talking about. Is it okay that I'm doing this? So really be smart about it. If it's something that your company would frown upon or has told you explicitly they don't want you to do, make sure that you know what the rules are before you head down that road. Because it is very possible that if you're recording yourself at work, that they're not going to like that, right? Mm-hmm. If you're recording yourself saying some things that are controversial while you're wearing their uniform, they're not going to like that. So you just got to be really smart at making sure that you know where the line in the sand is. Now, I'm not a lawyer and I am not giving you legal advice. I don't know what your contract says. Does your contract say that you're not to be the spokesperson for the company, that you're not to be doing publicity for the company? We don't know. So go to your HR department, find out what the rules are, find out what would be good and what would not be. But the one thing that you don't really want to get into is getting your company to approve your posts, right? Just have a simple conversation with them so that you know where the lines need to be drawn. And then you can go off on your merry way and do what you do. So that would be my advice. Make sure you know where the lines are.
I love that. Make sure you know where the lines are so that you're staying within the boundaries. And especially if you're not even talking about anything that you do at work, I think that's also pretty clear. As long as you don't have polarizing decisions. Again, talk to your HR, figure out what the lines are so you know exactly how to color it in. Ina, you've dropped so many gems today. Thank you so much. Let's close with this. If someone's just starting out building content with the goal of getting more clients, what's one thing they should do today to gain momentum?
Start creating content now and do that every single day. That's it. Improve on your message. It doesn't have to be exactly the same kind of content every single day. Improve on it. Have different kinds, right? Contact me. I am Auto Social Gal on TikTok, on Instagram. Just send me a DM and ask me like, okay, I really want to get started. What are the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different ways that I can create content? And I will just tell you, right? Just come. I have the resources and the information for you to get started. But the only thing you need to do is post every single day starting today. Don't skip a day. If there's a day that you need to skip, you have something in your drafts that can go out right now without you having to move a finger. You can stay in bed all day if you want, if you have that luxury. But you have something in your drafts that you can post today. Post every single day.
Ina, thank you so much for your time. And you already mentioned people can find you at Auto Social Gal on TikTok and Instagram, as well as Auto Social Consulting, which is the company. We'll have the links in the show notes. Thank you so much, Ina.
Thank you so much, Ina. This was fun.
Thank you. Absolutely. Guys, if there's one thing I took away from this conversation is this. Storytelling and service go hand in hand, even in industries where you least expect it. Whether you're selling cars, coaching clients, or scaling a startup, showing up online with clarity and personality is no longer optional. It's your edge. Thanks again to Ina for sharing her playbook. If you love this conversation, screenshot this episode, tag us both on IG, and let us know what your biggest takeaway is. And hey, if podcasting helped Ina start her business, imagine what it could do for you. Until next time, keep showing up, keep creating, and keep hacking your way to success. Thank you for listening to this Hacks and Hobbies episode. Junaid would love to hear from you, so please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. Visit hacksandhobbies.com to find additional information on the guest today, as well as the show notes.